That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pop the popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas, and grab a drink, because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 25 of Sierra Unfiltered.
Hey, pals.
And the last episode of the year.
Wild, wild, wild.
I know. How long have we had the podcast? When did we launch it?
I think July.
Okay.
When we launched it.
So it's been like 6 months.
Something like that.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy.
It's been such a fun ride.
I know. Aw, I'm so grateful we got to do it together.
I know. I'm just so excited for the new year. And that's what we're going to be talking about this podcast. We're going to talk about like the highlights of our 2019. We're going to talk about things that we are leaving behind in 2019 and our resolutions for 2020.
I'm so excited. This has been such a fun year.
I know. And also, we are going to be taking a little break in the beginning of the year. So we are, after this episode, we are going to be back on January 27th.
Yes.
So we're taking 3 weeks off. And we'll talk more about that in your bump date.
Well,
too.
Let's just talk about it now. I mean, my bump date is that I am very pregnant. I'm 8.5 months pregnant. And I feel like all the time weird things are happening in my body. Like, even we went out to lunch at Chipotle today, and I was like, Sierra, can you feel my stomach? Like, my stomach has just been insanely hard all day.
It was
like
rock hard.
Like how it is when I have Braxton Hicks contractions, but just like
all the time.
All day. And like, I don't know. I have a lingering suspicion that I might go into labor early. So our plan is to film two more podcasts before I go into labor and we do my maternity leave. But we'll see when those get filmed and right. when everything happens. So the plan is to come back on January
27th.
We'll have two episodes together, and then Steven will take over.
Yeah, let me check and make sure it's the 27th so I give you guys accurate information. All I know is we're taking 3 weeks off. Yes, it is the 27th is when we will be back.
Yeah.
And the plan is that Steven will be my co-host. But
I'm
honestly,
so
I just can't imagine doing this podcast without you.
Aw, that's very sweet.
Like, I really, what's it going to be like with me and Steven? Like, he's
better.
Not going to have a bump. No.
He's not going to have a bump date.
But I guess you won't when you come back either.
I can have, like, a baby date.
What would we call it?
I'm sure he could come up with something with his name.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not weird. We're going to finally be able to say his name.
Every time you guys see an awkward cut in the podcast, it's because one of us said his name.
I know. Well, at this point, it's like so natural that I don't know. But so we'll see. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's a crazy time.
And Skylar also isn't 100% sure how much time she's going to take off from the podcast.
Yeah.
So we're planning on 3 months, but I know Skylar's also been like, I don't know, maybe after only a couple weeks, I'll want to come back and just film an episode here and there. So I'm totally leaving the ball in her court.
Yeah, well, I feel like the podcast is probably the first thing that I'll really jump back into. I mean, I think that aside from the podcast, most of my work will be remote once I come back.
Right.
And then we'll eventually transition into kind of the flow that we're in right now. But the podcast is like the one thing. And especially if I'm like not seeing you that week, I'm sure I'm just gonna want to talk to you.
Right.
So I feel like it would be so easy just to be like, okay, cool, I'm gonna come in on a Saturday. Kyle and Steven can like go to the park with baby and like we can film.
But I also don't want you to feel like you have to. Like, yeah. I also but don't also, want you to feel like, oh, you know, I have to go in and I have to do this. Like, I want you to take as much time as you need.
Which is why we're saying that Steven is going to be the co-host for the entire time.
Yeah.
If I come back, it'll just be, like, a surprise fun thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's going to be so much happening in both of our lives. And I don't know. I want to talk to you. I guess I can talk to you offline, too. But I feel
people
like
people do that?
I actually blocked your number once we started this podcast because I like everything to be very organic.
Save it for the podcast.
Could you imagine?
Oh so my funny. Gosh.
But yeah, so that's my bump date is we're planning on doing two more episodes with the two of us pre-baby, but they'll probably go up when I'm having the baby and then it'll be Steven time.
Steven time.
I'm so excited. I feel like in the beginning when we started this podcast, I would listen to every single episode.
Yeah.
And now I don't always listen back just because it's us talking and I was already a part of that conversation. So it feels like a little narcissistic. I feel like the benefit is that I understand like what people are DMing me on Instagram because like my memory has been jogged.
Right.
But it'll be so fun to get to listen to a podcast with you and Steven.
Isn't that crazy to think about? I'm so excited. Also saw a lot of people asking like for like rotating co-hosts.
Yeah.
So like Steven and some, like Kenzie, my mom, my brother. So that might also be a good opportunity for me to bring on some guests that like aren't necessarily someone that like you and I both need to interview. Like
yeah.
We want to have Molly Burke on, but like I want that to be both of us because like we both know Molly.
Totally.
But like I feel like if
I mean I've never met Kenzie. I've never met anyone in your family.
But I feel no, like it absolutely. Could be good to have like my I feel like you and I don't need to like interview my little brother.
Yeah.
But it might be fun to have him on for an episode.
And it could also be fun because then you guys can talk about like your shared experiences together.
Right.
Like we can get your mom's perspective on like how you were growing up
right.
or whatever.
Yeah. So let us know anyone that you would like to see fill in for Skylar while she's gone,
woo.
Other than Steven.
I bet we're going to get a lot of comments of Carly and Kyle.
Kyle. Yeah, and Carly. Carly, would you ever come on the podcast?
If you want me to.
Would you want to, though?
Sure. Oh!
We should totally have Carly on the podcast.
That'd be great. Also, everyone always wants Tony, but I want to be
you,
here for Tony.
You have to be here when Tony comes
on. I
love Tony. Oh, Tony's our photographer who does recreating celebrity photos with us. He's fantastic.
Me being so professional, calling our photographer my sweet angel baby. But it's okay. We're like friends outside of
yeah.
too. What you drinking?
Both
drinking water. Wow.
I guess that kind of goes into my sister.
Yeah. Oh,
no, go ahead.
I was going to say, so that people don't, because I've seen people comment the last couple podcasts being like, Sierra's drinking water, which means that she must be pregnant.
No.
Like, first of all, until Sierra announces that she's pregnant, like, I feel like just don't assume anything.
Yeah.
But also, like, people often don't drink when they're in, like, their 2-week wait or when they're trying.
Yeah.
But I'll let you.
So, yeah, I guess that kind of goes into my sister-sister date. Sister-sister time. Because so as we're filming this, I'm still in my 2-week wait. As this is going up, it's going to be around the time that I would be able to take a pregnancy test. I have been probably overly transparent about the trying process, not just the fact that we're trying, that I found out I have PCOS, like literally talking to you guys about like as I'm taking ovulation tests, as I'm taking pregnancy tests. And
well, it's also during Vlogmas, so right. Everything's going up in real time.
Right. And so I guess the one thing I would ask, like Skylar said, is like, let's not try to like crack the code on if Sierra is pregnant or not, because like that puts a lot of pressure on me. And I really like sharing those very intimate details about my life with you guys. And that honestly helps me go through it. Mm-hmm. But also like, A, it's probably going to be months and maybe even years and maybe never that I get pregnant. And I don't want to feel like this, I don't know, this constant pressure that like every month or everything that I'm doing is going to be like, oh, Sierra might be pregnant. And the second thing is, and I've said this before, when I get pregnant, hopefully if I get pregnant, I'm not going to tease it like some big announcement.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like drop hints and clues. I'm just going to say it. And I don't know if I'm going to say it like right when I find out, if I'm going to say it after my 8-week ultrasound, if I'm going to say it after the first trimester, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think I would probably announce it sooner than most people because I am a very transparent person and mm-hmm. I'm going to want to talk about it. But I just ask that you guys don't try to like guess and crack the code if I am or not, because I'm not going to be like leaving hints or anything.
Yeah. Well, I think even just like less specific to you, just in general, if you know somebody is trying, it's all right to like, I was coming into work almost every single day in the period in which Kyle and I were trying. And so a lot of the times I would talk to Sierra as my friend and be like, oh my God, I feel so sick. I feel this, that, and the other. I wonder if that means I'm pregnant. And so then you would ask me like, do you think you're pregnant? But that was okay because like I literally called you the day that I was pregnant and told you over the phone because you had been such a part of that journey. But I feel like we also were transparent, not to millions of people, but just to our friends and family. And I feel like every time we got together for something, if like I had a drink, people are like, oh, must not be pregnant yet. Or like if I didn't have a drink, like, oh, are you pregnant? Yep. And I'm like, either like I don't know and it's like killing me that I don't know, or I just found out I'm not and that's upsetting, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like please don't comment things like trying to crack the code on Sierra, but also just like people in your real life.
Right. I think like, it's fine.
A sensitive.
It's fine if someone opens up to you about what they're trying, or that they're in the 2-week wait, or that they're going through any sort of fertility things. I think absolutely ask questions, share your experiences. But I do think it's something that you have to be careful with, of like not ever making someone feel pressured, like they have to act a certain way, say a certain thing,
or like not being disappointed for people.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of times I would tell people like, yeah, not pregnant this month, and they'd be like, oh, bummer. And it's like, yeah, it is a bummer. And like I was always really sad when my 2-week wait ended and I like got my period and found out I wasn't pregnant, just because I wanted that so badly. And so it is like a bummer, but it's like, I know it's an bummer. Like we can just move on. Like we don't have to, we can just say like, yep, not pregnant. Like,
okay, cool.
Drop it. And we can like try again next month, you know? But yeah, I feel like, especially it's like, it's such a personal thing.
So personal.
If anyone's opening up to you, whether that be an influencer or someone in your real life, just, you know,
proceed with caution.
Let them lead.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Do you want to do your hot take?
Yeah, so that kind of goes into my hot take.
Oh, really?
I feel like it's kind of connected. I think that trigger warnings are good. And I feel like it's been made into a joke in the last couple of years of like, I'm triggered. But in reality, like people do go through traumatic events in their life and certain things can be triggering to certain people.
Yeah.
And a trigger warning hurts no one.
No. Like if you're someone who doesn't need a trigger warning, that's great. It's not for you.
Yeah.
Even if, let's say, like, on our podcast where we talked about our past struggles with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Putting a trigger warning in front of that harmed no one.
Yeah.
Even if of the 50,000 people that watched that video, if one person listened to that and that let them know, okay, I'm going to skip this one out, or
I'm not in the right headspace to take in this content, I'll do it later.
Right. I think, why not put up the trigger warning?
Yeah. So that's my hot take. I feel like it's such a joke of like, millennials are offended by everything. And, oh, everyone's so triggered all the time. Like these snowflakes. And it's like, no, that's an actual thing. Like if someone has been through a shooting, like there should be a trigger warning for anything involving like a shooting. Or if someone has struggled with eating disorders, like there should be a trigger warning. I don't know.
Yeah. No, anyways, I agree.
That's my hot take.
I am totally on par with that. On par with that? What am I talking about? I'm totally on board with that. I think trigger warnings are great. I think there's no reason not to.
Yeah.
I think one thing I struggle with, especially with making content that is very transparent a lot of the time, is knowing when to put it. When is it necessary? So, like, when is it necessary to put a trigger warning? So, like, if I say the word eating disorder.
Yeah.
If I just say that word. does that video then need a trigger warning for that? Or is it only if I, like, go into depth about that topic? Or, like, at what point is it good for me to let people know beforehand what that content is?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think?
I think, first of all, with your videos, your title is always what the video is about. Like, you don't clickbait people. And so I feel like if someone's clicking on a video, like, about your fertility journey, they should know that if they're triggered by someone, like, being on that journey, then they shouldn't watch it.
Right.
Like, I feel like you have to kind of trust your audience. I feel like with podcasts or with, like, really visual media, like, if you were to show a picture of someone who very clearly had an eating disorder, then that would be something that you should give a trigger warning before.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like in your videos, I feel like you play it safe, especially since it's all, like, mainly, I feel like we're really branching into, like, comedy, right, like, follow me around content. Like, you reviewing, like, Forever 21's Cheetos collection isn't gonna trigger anyone, you know? I feel like we dive deeper into the more hard-hitting topics on the podcast and on the vlog. And I feel like those audiences kind of know what they're getting by whatever the title is.
And I think there's been 3 episodes that we've had trigger warnings on, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's your hot take?
Oh, my hot take. Oh, okay. So my hot take is just kind of a call out to my husband.
Every hot take.
maybe a month ago, Steven said something to me about, like, a change he wants to make. And he was like, yeah, I think that'll be my New Year's resolution. And I was like, it's early November. You have 2 months. You could just make that change now if that's something that you think is going to make your life better. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, I think I'm just going to wait till 2020. And my whole thing is, like, why do we have this idea that this arbitrary new year that we've set up marks the beginning of some rebirth? And and I'm saying that as someone who loves making New Year's resolutions, who loves trying to, like, actively think about the changes I want to make in my life.
Yeah.
But also, if it's July and I identify something in my life that's not, like, serving me and that's making my life worse, I will try to make that change now instead of being like, well, you know, we're not at the end of the year. I guess I'll wait till 2020.
I mean, I agree.
Like, why do we wait to make these changes until it's a New Year's resolution?
Especially if it's a change that's, like, really negatively impacting your life. Like, if you're able to identify, like, this is something that is, like, harming me or not doing me any good, but I'm not going to change that pattern for 6 months or for 2 months or for 2 weeks or whatever it is. Like, you might as well just get on with it.
Yeah, that's my hot take. But I also understand that the new year can be a good time to reflect on your life and be like, what changes would I like to make?
Yeah.
What person do I want to be? And you maybe not be asking yourself those questions throughout the whole year, but I think if something comes up in your life, make that change now.
Yeah.
Why wait? Even if it's December 29th and you're like, you know what? I want to change this in my life. Do it on the 29th. Don't wait till the 1st. Before we get into the heart of this podcast, I want to take a quick second to thank our sponsor, which is Cash App, the number one finance app in the App Store. Woo. Cash App is a free app that makes it super easy to instantly send money to your friends all the time. Skylar and I will go out to eat. We'll get coffee. No need to put it on 2 cards and split the bill. We can just Cash App each other back and forth. It's nice and easy. And Cash App also comes with the Cash Card, a free debit card that comes with Boosts, which are exactly like instant rewards for shopping at the places you already love. You can get big discounts off your entire purchase at places like DoorDash, Whole Foods, Target, and many more. It is literally like having the credit card perks, but packed in a free debit card. And we're also really excited to be working with Cash App to support one of our favorite organizations, which is the Trevor Project. The Trevor Project is a fantastic organization that offers support and resources and crisis intervention to LGBTQ plus youth. We love the Trevor Project, and any opportunity that we get to help support them makes us very, very happy. So when you sign up for Cash App and use our promo code UNFILTERED, not only will you receive $10, but Cash App will also donate $10 to the Trevor Project. So don't forget to use promo code UNFILTERED when you download Cash App from the App Store today. Thank you, Cash App.
Thank you, Cash App. Do we want to talk about what our resolutions are for this year?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's a good...
So segue. I, in my main channel video, which I did a main channel video trying to complete all my 2019 New Year's resolutions in one day.
Yes. Which I was not there for the filming of.
You were not.
And also, I haven't seen because it hasn't come out yet. So
in that video, I said my resolutions for 2020.
Okay.
And I forgot most of them. And then I went to download the footage because I had already sent it to my editor to watch it. And it said it was going to take 2 hours to download. So I'm just going to say, if you want to hear all my resolutions, you can go to that channel, that video. But two that specifically I really am committed to and really remember from that video.
Yeah.
Is I want to be more giving. So with my, that was my resolution for last year too. Be more giving with, like, my time, my energy, and my finances. So, like, volunteer more. So, like, just be there for people more. Like, give more of myself.
I feel like you've absolutely done that this
really?
Year. Yeah. I feel, I tell people all the time of, I think, like, you are literally, at this point, like, the most giving person I know.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
Like, even, like, we were just joking on the last podcast of me being like, well, you give me so much, and like, you do give me so much in that, like, obviously, like, in your love and your time and your everything, but I feel like there has been like a crazy change, and even I would say like the last 6 months of, I feel like you're constantly like, hey, I feel like you really need a spa day, like, let's go to the spa, it's on me, or like, hey, I feel like you could really benefit from this day off, I am telling you, like, don't come in. Like, I feel like you've been very giving in, like, every respect.
I appreciate that. That's really nice. Because I was reflecting on this year and I was like, was I more giving? I was like, I think so, but I'm not sure. I think.
Oh, absolutely.
It's easier to, like, measure. I definitely gave more to charity this year. That's something I can measure. I feel like it's harder to measure those things of just, like, giving time and, like, giving, like, energy to people and, like, giving, like, care. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
Aww. Thanks. Well, and you'll be giving me a lot of time and energy and care in the next couple months anyways, whether you like it or not. So I'll be like, Sierra, please come over and hold my baby so I can take a shower.
You know I will. Sierra, that's you please. Giving to me, getting to be around your baby. That's a gift.
But I would definitely say, and I think that, like, that has been a big change. Because it's not that you were, like, ungiving before this year, but I think if I were to describe you before this year, I would describe you as, like, strong and smart and all these other things. But now I feel like in your five adjectives, like, giving would probably be one of them.
That's really nice. Well, I want to keep doing that in 2020 and, like, I don't know, put more into that, because I feel like that's something that I really value in myself is, like, if someone was saying the five adjectives about me, I would love for, like, giving to be one of them. I think that's something that I really want to be. And then my other one was no more piles. So, like, with organization, my house is a lot more organized this year than it was last year and my life in general. One of my resolutions last year, I don't think it was, like, an official resolution, but I do this, my friend Lavender, her name's Eileen, she's amazing, she's a YouTuber, check her out, she does this planner every year and it's called the, like, dream workbook planner. And for the past 3 years I filled it out and it was like, choose your word for the year. My word for last year was harmonious. And I remember telling Skylar about this, like, I want my life and my, like, workspace and everything to be, like, harmonious. Like, I don't want it to be dirty, I don't want it to be messy. And I feel like that definitely was better than years past. But I still have a lot of piles. No more piles. No more, like, oh, I'm just, this is my clutter shelf, I'll just put it up. I want that to be done.
Wow. That's wild.
What are your resolutions?
I feel like, so my resolutions for this year, I want to take more pictures. Because I feel like before this year, I was, like, all about, like, even if I was just, like, going to coffee with Jessica or whatever, I would always be like, here, like, let me snap a picture. And I, like, wouldn't necessarily post it, I wouldn't do anything, but it was just, like, pictures for me to have. Like, if I was, like, laying in bed with the cats and I was, like, really wanted to remember that moment, I would, like, take a picture.
Right.
And I feel like this year I've really, really tried to work on being present with people. And so, like, even, I mean, I feel like I, not to toot my own horn, but I feel like I've always been good about, like, if I'm out at dinner with someone, like, my phone is absolutely away. Like, I've never been that kind of person. But I think that I've really tried to work on being in the moment. And I think in doing so, I've taken, like, no pictures this year. And so it's hard, like, looking back, I probably, I mean, I don't know the actual number, but I probably only posted on Instagram, like, 10 times this year, if yeah. that. Like, I posted on my Instagram stories, like, maybe once a day, once every other day, but I just, I don't know. I feel like I didn't take any pictures, and especially with bringing a kid into the world, I love looking through, like, my old baby books or Kyle's old baby books, and I also just want to, like, remember that time of us as a new family, and right. so I feel like I'm gonna try and kind of balance the two of still being in the moment, still being present and active. And, like, they don't have to be good pictures, I feel like, is the thing, too. Like, I can take pictures just for me, or just, like, for me to send to, like, my mom and Sierra and my right. mother-in-law or whatever.
It doesn't have to be aesthetically pleasing. It doesn't have to fit the Instagram feed. It can yeah. just be for you.
Well, and even, like, I am making a big point of, like, to not post, like, any unflattering pictures of my son. And that doesn't mean, like, unflattering in the angle, like, oh, that gives him a double chin, but just unflattering in that, like, I don't necessarily want him to be shirtless. I don't want him to be, like, visibly upset. Like, I only want to post, like, the happy highlight reel to, like, public platforms. But that doesn't mean that I can't take, like, a funny picture of him, like, naked in his high chair covered in, like, gross food.
Yeah.
Just for me.
Yeah.
You know? And so I feel like I'm going to make a really active effort to do that this year. And then my other one is to be more eco-friendly. Mm. I think that I, well, first of all, like, a month ago, I washed all of my tote bags because I was like, I have never washed these. And, like, that's disgusting. Like, some of these tote bags I've had for literally, like, 5 years, they've had gallons of milk in them, they've had clothes in them, like, I should probably wash these, but I dried them on high heat, and so they all shrunk.
Oh,
and
no!
And so now they're, like, miniature tote bags. Like, the biggest one is, like, this, like, maybe oh, it could funny. Fit, like, half a gallon of almond milk. Like, it's, they're all tiny.
Oh, that's funny.
I have, like, maybe two or three that didn't shrink because they were, like, in my car because I had been using them. But so for the last, like, month or so, I've been using the ones that aren't shrunken, but it's just, like, such a joke to bring in my, like, little mini bags to Trader Joe's that I've been, like, using a lot more paper bags and not being as good about that. And so I want to, like, actively go on this weekend and purchase, like, more tote bags. That yeah. way I can keep doing that because I've been so good about it for so many years. And then also I feel like just little things of, like, I'm so bad at drinking water and I don't have, like, hydro flask or anything. And so throughout my pregnancy, I've been using a decent amount of plastic water bottles because if I'm on the go, it's easy for me to be like, I need to finish this in the next 30 minutes. Like, right. I need to be hydrated. This is, like, a very measurable way of me doing that. But that's, like, so bad for the environment. And I feel like I try and be so conscious in so many ways. And so I feel like just trying to keep myself more accountable of, like, that's great that you're eating vegan. But if you're having a water bottle a day, that's really bad. Like, yeah. cut that out. Just drink from a mason jar or buy a hydro flask or whatever it takes, you right. know?
That's but great. Yeah.
So, and I feel like both of those aren't things that are necessarily starting in the new year. Like, I reflected on what I want to change in the new year, so I'm starting to make those changes now.
Right.
But it was because of the self-reflection that came with
looking at
what I want for next year and what I lacked from this year.
Yeah. I love those. Those are great.
Thanks.
I think I have one more that has actually come into my mind since filming that main channel video.
Oh.
And I think it's to explore what body positivity means in different aspects.
Hmm.
So I think for one of those things for me, it's like embracing my natural hair.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming more comfortable without makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm totally comfortable without makeup on in situations that I deem like I don't need makeup. Like right yeah. now, the only thing I have on is like some eyebrow gel.
Yeah.
Like all on my everyday, I don't wear makeup. I don't wear makeup on the vlog, but I don't think I've like ever filmed a main channel video without some form of makeup on.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever like gone to an event without makeup on. Mm-hmm. I think I want to try to explore like, are there other aspects about who I am and my body and myself that I can be more positive about?
Yeah.
Whether it's my hair, whether it's makeup, body hair is another thing that I want to get more comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about doing a video where I like don't shave for a month, like armpits, legs, everything, and just kind of exploring, are there other things about like, I guess not even body positivity, but just overall positivity in myself and confidence that I can work on.
I think that's great. Yeah. I feel like this year will be very interesting. And I mean, it's like, I guess a resolution, but also just something I like am always constantly working on. I think that's one of the things I have in my like what I'm leaving behind in 2019 is I booked my first therapy appointment for the first time in years.
I love that.
And I feel like I'm actually in a really good headspace right now. I think that I understand that there is so much change happening in my life that I want to get on top of that and find someone that I like now. So that way, if I do suffer from any like postpartum depression or like body issues with like dealing with like my postpartum body and like learning to accept and love that and like not falling into old bad habits, that way I like have it on lockdown. I'm held accountable. It's not like a big daunting thing of I have to find a therapist I like and wait a month for an appointment. It's like, no, I have someone, I have appointments scheduled for every couple weeks or whatever it may be. And I feel like working on constantly bettering my mental health and bettering like my image of myself is definitely something that I want to bring into 2020.
That's great. I want to make a therapy appointment for soon because that was one of the things that my dietitian had recommended. And I just haven't, with the holidays and everything, I just haven't gotten around to doing it. But I really should.
Aww.
I'm glad that you're doing that. That's really great.
Oh, thanks.
Going off that, do we want to talk about things that we're leaving behind?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Since I kind of said mine.
So I think a big thing for me is I validate myself through my work and through my work ethic. And I feel like I am – what do I even mean by this? I feel like – I don't want to give myself off days because then that means I'm less of a hard worker. Like,
it's putting less value into how much time you're putting into your work.
And I want to leave that in 2019, that it's okay for me to do one video a week and have 2 days a week, whether that be Saturday, Sunday, or a Tuesday and a Friday, that I have 2 days a week where I'm not doing work. Maybe I'm checking my email a few times. But that's okay. That doesn't make me a bad person. That doesn't make me lazy. That doesn't make me someone who has, like, doesn't have work ethic. That just makes me someone who's valuing my personal time.
Yeah.
And I think I want to leave that idea of, like, I am valuable because I'm a hard worker. I am valuable because, you know, my channel's doing well, or this is successful, or that's successful. Like, I want to start valuing myself for me as a person and not like my output.
Well, and I also feel like, not to put on to you, but just as an outsider and someone who works with you, I feel like you very much have either like I am working or like we're going on vacation.
Yeah.
We're going over to my parents' house. It's a holiday. Like it's never just like, what are you doing today? Oh, you know, I'm chilling.
No.
Like I feel like all the time you'll ask me, we'll like work for like a couple hours on a weekend, or we'll hang out for a couple hours, and then you'll be like, so what are you doing for the rest of the day? And I'll be like, it's 7 o'clock, so like going home, gonna like have some dinner and go to bed.
Yeah.
But it's because you like are so busy all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like you like being busy, but it's okay to sometimes have like, what am I doing for the rest of the day?
Nothing. Yeah. Wanna watch some Netflix? Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it always has, like, I want to leave in 2019 valuing myself based on my productivity.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to just chill out sometimes.
Totally. I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. Well, and also, I think, especially because what you do, it is, like, you can see the analytics of it, of, like, this video performed, like, worse than usual. I have more subscribers than usual. Like, it is such a fluctuating thing, and there may come a day where there is a dip in your channel. Like, we've kind of been, like, riding this wave, and I feel like starting to remove yourself from, like, if my channel starts declining, that means I'm declining in my value, is, like, an important thing to start the process of now, so that if in 10 years or in 2 months or in whenever, it's not like a sad thing.
Right.
Or it's not a reflection on you.
That's not a reflection of who I am.
Yeah.
And I think another thing for me is, like, if I was working as much as I do as, like, a lawyer,
yeah,
then people would be like, ooh, she's a lawyer. Like, she's got lots to do. But I think since I'm a YouTuber and, like, just a business owner from social media, I think a lot – there is this, like, what does she do all day kind of, yeah, thing. Like, oh, Sierra's so busy. But, like, what does she really have to do? Like, yeah, you just film some videos. And so then I think I have to validate that I'm working. Like, oh, no, I work on weekends. I work 60-hour weeks. And it's, yeah, like, first of all, I shouldn't take my value in how much I work. And second of all, if people don't understand how much I'm working, who cares?
And also, then those aren't the people who are around you every, yeah, day, because the people who are around you know that you work a ton.
Right. Like, I
so if, you if working more isn't going to affect their image, no, of you.
If there's a comment on a video that's like, Sierra says that she works all the time, but, like, she only has to film videos. She must only work 10 hours a week. That's fine if someone thinks that. Yeah. I shouldn't let that affect me negatively by working too much.
Yeah. I feel like it would be different if, like, Steven was saying that, right, to you, or if I was saying that to you. Like, then that's someone in your actual life who actually knows you being like, I think you're lazy.
But and the only thing problematic that people,
and, yeah, whatever. But the, like, you're, I bet you're about, yeah, to say, the only thing people tell you is, like, you need to take a break.
Yeah.
Like, you need to chill out.
Yeah.
Of me and Steven being like, maybe you should go down to one video a week. That, right, might be a good idea.
Right.
You know?
And I think a big thing for me too was like, oh, if I go down to one video a week, I just need to be using that time on other projects.
Yeah.
But it's also like, maybe it's okay to just take some of that time for me. Yeah. Like, so that's a big thing for me.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and Casey Neistat was on it for like half of it. And I didn't realize he went 600 days posting every single day. And he was like, it's crazy because once you stop that, your life changes so much for the better. But also, like, you'll never be in that grind again.
Right.
Like, you have to understand that, like, I am making this change and it's going to be positive for all these reasons. But also, you're not getting that fulfillment from your work anymore. And you have to be okay with that.
Right. Right.
But it is such a crazy thing.
It is. What's like, one for you?
My only other one is having to defend my choices all the time. Mm. So my mother-in-law actually pointed this out to me the other day because we were, like, talking about all of the choices I'm making, whether that's, like, circumcision, like, if I'm pro or against it. And we were talking about, like, the argument of whether breastfeeding is vegan. Because obviously I've said on the podcast before, I'm raising my son vegetarian, but I personally am vegan. And so she was asking me, like, what's the difference between, like, your son drinking your milk versus you drinking a cow's milk?
Mm-hmm.
And I was having to explain to her the whole thing I've explained to a lot of people, that to me, I'm consenting this milk is made for my son just like a calf's milk is made for the cow, and that cow is consenting. Like, it's a totally different thing to me morally. But I was, like, defending myself. And she was like, I was thinking about it. You are always having to defend yourself. And I was like, yeah, I think it's because I make a lot of decisions that are not regular.
Right.
Or, like, not standard.
You go against the grain with, like, a lot of your, like, life choices.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily, like, I'm living out, like, this crazy
life.
No,
you're not.
But I think especially, like, going into parenthood, there are a lot of decisions that people make for their kids that's just, like, yep, that's standard. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And I think I am really sitting down and deciding, like, what do I believe in? Like, is, in what do I believe is, like, morally and ethically correct?
Right.
And then I'm going to make that decision. And so sometimes it's what's standard, but a lot of the times it's not, you know? And so I think that I do find myself constantly having to defend myself and having to be like, well, actually, I watched a lot of documentaries on it, or actually, I did this research and this research, when at the end of the day, I should just be able to say, yep, I'm making that decision.
And that's for me, and that's it.
And
yeah. And you can have a conversation about it with someone if you want to, but you don't have to go on the defensive.
Exactly. And I think that's automatically where I go, because I automatically think everyone's going to be like up in arms that I'm making whatever decisions of like, I am getting mostly like wooden toys or like toys that promote like imaginative play and all these other things. And I feel like that's not an inherently crazy decision.
Right.
But in saying that, I feel like I have to say, oh, well, you know, in this study, it said this, that, and the other. And at the end of the day, I can just be like, no, that's just a decision I'm making.
Yeah, that's what I'm deciding.
Yeah. So that's something I'm leaving behind.
I love that.
What were some of your highlights of this year?
Yeah, I'm going to take my headphones off. Well, I already did because they're kind of hurting my ears. Aww. This is the second podcast we're filming. So sorry, but hopefully I'm not talking too loud.
I also realized I didn't say what my resolution was from last year.
Oh, yeah.
My resolution from last year was to be less judgmental. And I don't know if I really did that good of a job on it. Like, being candid, I think that it's just something I'm always going to have to work on in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I think it kind of circles back to what we were just saying about having to defend myself.
Yeah.
I think that I'm absolutely never judgmental of people's, like, physical appearances.
No.
Like, monetary things or anything. But I think I do have strong opinions for how I live my life and, like, what I believe in politically or whatever. And I think I've gotten in, like, less political arguments with my grandma this year. Like,
it's a win.
I think that I've kind of stepped back on, like, and gotten off my high horse a little bit. But I think internally there is still a part of me that thinks, like, my way is, like, at the end of the day, the correct way.
Yeah.
You know, whether I'm like, awesome, you can make your decisions, I'm making mine, no further conversation. I think still in my brain, I'm like, yeah, but it would be better if you did it my way. I just don't vocalize that. And so I think at the, like, I would love to get to a space where I truly believe, like, we are all on our own journey. Whatever anyone else does not affect me. I'm only in control of myself. And so I think that's the journey that will be a lifelong journey for me.
Yeah, you're so interesting with that, because you are easily the least judgmental person I've ever met in terms of, like you said, appearance, monetary things, well, like social status, like clothes, like anything.
Yeah.
I think for you it's like morality and like life choices.
Yeah.
And I think the difference is, I think a lot of people can look and be like, this is your moral compass and this is my moral compass. Yeah. And so, like, your life lines up with your moral compass.
Yeah.
And I think the hard thing for you with getting past that is you are so tied to, like, your moral compass that it's hard to imagine having a different moral compass.
Well, I think part of the problem is that I just swing so far in this direction that it's hard, because I think I, in almost all of my life choices, I like to think that I'm putting other people before myself, which is like something that I'm also working on. But like eating vegan, or I don't know, there are just a lot of things that I feel like I put other people's lives, other people's time, other people's everything in front of my own. And so when I see people doing the complete opposite, it's hard for me to be like, that's just them. Like, they just love, I don't know, I don't want to say any specific examples because I don't want people to think I'm judging them in the comments. But I feel like I'm really trying to work on getting to a place where I don't think I'll ever be like, yay, guns, yay, eating meat from slaughterhouses, yay, whatever. But just being like, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
That's okay if that's something that's important to you. That does not affect me at all. And, like, truly believing that. Because I think I've gotten to a point where I can say that to people.
Yeah.
And, like, not be judgmental verbally, but I think still in my brain.
Well, and I think the next step after that, too, is, like, not only is it okay, but, like, I won't let this affect my view of you.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think that this year, like, even, yeah, I think I've made a lot of progress, but I don't think I've fully gotten there.
But I don't think anyone ever looks back at their New Year's resolution as like, yep, checked that one off fully.
Oh, totally.
Like, I think it's progress, and I think it's important to, like, acknowledge that you're, like, actively working on those things.
But I think the progress that I've made has made it so that now it's a non-issue in my life.
Yeah.
Like,
do you feel like it was an issue before?
I feel like I had an issue with it. Like, I had an issue, I don't know, always having to, like, bite my tongue. And now I feel like I don't have to bite my tongue in situations because I've just trained myself. Like, I'm not going to say anything. Everything's fine. They're okay. Everyone's on their own journey. Like, I ate meat for many, many years. I did. That's the only one I can, like, say because I feel like that's not, like, really controversial. But, like, at some point, I was at the same place. Like, yeah. None of us start out at this end goal. So how can I judge someone who's just doing their best?
Well, and also, your end goal is not going to be the same as everyone else's.
Exactly. And, like, not everyone, like, I mean, I've talked to my mother-in-law a lot about it. Like, she was raised on, like, a farm. And so she eats meat, but it's because she understands, like, the circle of life. And to her, when she, like, eats chicken, she, like, understands, like, what has happened for that to be...
Yeah.
On her plate. I don't know. That's a whole tangent. But I feel like I didn't fully get there, but I got to a place where it's not disrupting my life anymore.
That's good.
And I'm going to continue to work on it.
I love that.
Less judgment.
I like that. Okay. 2019 highlights.
Okay.
Do you want to, like, go one after the other, or?
I didn't see yours. And your first one is New York with Kenzie. And then after that, it says in New York with Skylar, but I thought it was just going to say New York, just with, New York Kenzie, with Kenzie. And I was going to, like, bite my tongue again and be like, that's so lovely.
So glad you and your other friend so had a nice trip.
You and your other pregnant friend had a great time. But.
No. So I was going through, like, my photos trying to remember what happened this year. And I was like, oh, yeah, I went to New York with Kenzie when she was, like, 30 weeks pregnant, or like 28 weeks pregnant. And then I was like, I kept scrolling and I was like, and I went to New York with Skylar when she was 28 weeks or 30 weeks pregnant. Yeah. And I was like, and then in between those two, I went to New York for a business trip. So I went to New York three times this year, that's two of so them fun. With my two pregnant best friends, which was so cool and so fun. And we had so never been awesome. Together.
Yeah.
That was like on, I think I told you that on the trip. That was one of my favorite trips I've ever taken anywhere.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Like, it was just so fun.
If you did tell me that, I definitely thought you were just, like, hyping me up.
No.
That's so sweet.
Like, I look back on that as, like, one of the best trips I've had, even though it was, like, half a business trip and, like, not super long. Like, aww. Everything just went so well. We had so much, like, fun together.
Yeah.
And we were just, like, silly and being in our hotel room. And it felt, like, full circle for, like, teenage us.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, well, that was one of my highlights, too. But I feel like going off of that, one of my highlights of this year was how much amazing theater I was able to see. Like, I feel so blessed and privileged that I have been able to see so many amazing shows this year. And just looking back, I feel like it's, I don't know, I'm just so grateful. I feel like there have been a couple shows this year that I've seen, like, the touring versions of or whatever, that I was like, that was really bad. Like, that was just straight up not good. But every time I have to remind myself, like, maybe for two Christmases, I got tickets to, like, touring shows when I was a kid. And that was the biggest deal in the entire world to me. To, like, go down to the Civic Center, I would get, like, so dressed up. I would look forward to it for months. And so the fact that that's now, like, a normal part of my life.
Yeah.
And that I am in a place where I've seen so many shows that I can be like, that show wasn't it.
Right.
Is like a very privileged thing that I'm very grateful for.
That's so cool. Mm. That's so cool.
Also, Hadestown was just amazing.
It was so good. Oh my gosh. I want to see it again.
Same. Let's go.
Let's go right now. And then I also had two other, I actually did quite a bit of travel this year.
Yeah.
I think I knew that Steven and I were going to start trying at the end of this year. And I was like, okay, you know, in a couple years, I'm not going to be able to just, like, get an opportunity to go on a business trip and take it or, like, go visit my friend Corey in Montana. Like, that's not going to be as easy for me. So, like, this year should really be the year I take advantage of those things. And I did a lot. two of my favorite trips were Stephen and I going to Europe with my family. Mm-hmm. We went to London and Plymouth in England. And then we also went to Venice, just the two of us, mm-hmm. which is really cool. And then Stephen and I also took our Disney World trip, which was like a big bucket list thing for both of us, but mostly him, since like we met.
That's so fun. Yeah, I feel like one of my highlights was definitely going to London, even though on a previous podcast, I forgot that we went to London this year. I definitely remembered London. I just didn't. This year has been so insane. When it was
at the beginning of the year.
And so, but I feel like that was the most amazing thing. I mean, I've been to Iceland, but I've never been to anywhere in Europe.
Yeah.
And Kyle has been to every continent except for Antarctica, wow. which is like a fun thing to be able to say. But so it was really cool getting to go because he had only ever gone with like big groups, and it was like different because he was a teenager, and I don't think that was ever like the final end destination. It was like, oh, we're stopping through London, we'll do a bus tour and then continue on.
Right.
And so it was really cool getting to experience it with someone and do like completely different things.
Yeah.
Like I love big trips because I feel like I need to get better about, like, planning trip-like weekends in San Diego.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when I go on a trip, I plan out, like, every place, which I know you don't like doing, and that's why we're, like, different in that respect. But I feel like it's so fun to be, like, I know we have reservations at this, like, underground Harry Potter bar.
Right.
I know that we're going to, like, this cafe that, like, this happens at, or we're seeing this show, and I don't know. That was a highlight for me.
That's so cool.
What's another one for you?
Two of my highlights, again, about you and Kenzie. Highlights were Skylar getting pregnant and Kenzie giving birth. And also this year, I didn't realize, this year is also when Kenzie told me she got pregnant. That was January of 2019.
That's wild.
I know. At this time last year, this time 1 year ago, I did not have two pregnant best friends. Much less one that has a child and one that's pregnant. Both you, well, Kenzie was pregnant, but she hadn't told me yet. You weren't even trying yet.
Yeah. Well, and this year included in that, like, you've started trying.
Which was another one of my highlights at the end. Just Steven and I kind of, like, taking that leap into trying to conceive has been, like, such a cool thing that I had wanted for a while. And, yeah, it's been really cool.
I'm so happy for you guys.
I feel like two of the happiest days of my entire life were, like, you telling me that you got pregnant and, like, Kenzie giving birth.
Aww,
and I'm, like, so excited. I'm so excited to meet your baby. I almost said his name.
Aww.
Because I just know that that's going to be one of those, like, best days of my life, too. Because I remember, so like, going to the hospital and, like, meeting Harlan and holding her for the first time and me just being, like, I am going to remember this day forever. And I know that's how I'm going to be with baby P too.
That's so exciting. That's so sweet. I know last night we had our hospital tour and they were like telling us about like how many guests are allowed in the room and whatever, and because of flu season, like this many people, or it might get stripped down to this many people. And so Kyle and I were like doing the math in our head of like, okay, if my mom is there in the room when I'm giving birth with Kyle, then that means that Sierra can come in immediately thereafter. And then Steven can also be there, but he can't be in labor and delivery. He has to be in postpartum. And then they can leave. Aww. And then, like, my stepdad can come. But we were, like, doing the math, and you were, like, the first person. I was like,
I'm gonna cry.
But it's very exciting. So exciting. So.
What's another one for you?
Ooh, I mean, I'll go off of that. I feel like being pregnant and getting pregnant, I feel like the last maybe 2 weeks, yeah, I'd say probably 2 weeks, even just this last week, have been a lot harder with pregnancy. Like, I feel like up until this point, I've said, like, I like being pregnant just as much. Well, at first I was saying, I like being pregnant more than I like not being pregnant.
Yes, you were saying that for a while.
I said, I like being pregnant just as much. And now I'm at the point where it's still just as much because I feel like there are so many pros to it. Like, I love having him with me all the time. Like, I just feel like I'm never alone. Like, even if I'm, like, scared in a situation or anxious, like, I can talk to him. And I just feel like I have, like a little person with me. Like, I love when I sing in the car and he starts like kicking me. Like, I like to say it's like him like applauding me, but in reality he's probably like, shut up, it's so loud in here. But like, there's so many things I love about it, but it has gotten really hard in the last couple weeks,
right?
And so, but I still just am so grateful to be kind of like on this journey, and we wanted it so badly for, I mean, whoa, that wasn't a burp, that was like something in my chest. That was my baby being like, I want to interject. I mean, I wouldn't say we wanted it for so long, because I understand that people try for years and years and it's a whole process, but we have wanted that ever since we got married, and then we were actively trying for months. And so I just feel really excited and, like, I don't know, good about it. Sorry, I have, like, a burp in my chest.
That's so
What's
sweet.
What's another one for you?
Graduating community college. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. That was, like, a big thing for me that I wasn't sure if I was going to do. My grad party was super fun. I walked in my college graduation ceremony. That was really cool. And then from, like, the business side of things, I really enjoyed, like, expanding the team. Aww. I remember under a year ago, it was January of 2019, you and I were talking. We were, like, having a night where we watched The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. And you were like, wouldn't it be crazy if, like, maybe, like, 3 years down the line, like, we hired another person and then there was, like, someone who, like, worked with me too and, like, mm-hmm. I could do more creative stuff, and then we had someone else that was doing more of, like, the organizational stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that'd be crazy, like, maybe in, like, a couple of years. Yeah. And then, like, the channel has been growing so much and we've been able to scale things so much that this year we hired on Rachel, my editor. Mm-hmm. This time last year I was editing every single video on my own.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And so in March of 2019 we hired on Rachel. And then we hired on Carly in June.
Woo-woo!
Carly! Which has been fantastic. And the idea...
Rachel, if you're listening, I would woot-woot for you too. It's because Carly's in
sitting
office.
Sitting right here.
I don't want you to think I'm playing favorites. I also love you, Rachel.
Woot-woot for Rachel as well. We then hired Jessica more mm-hmm. recently. I also hired Emily, who helps with thumbnails. And then Nick, my manager, we started working with him in May, I think. Yeah. And then Steven started working on the channel. He, at this time last year, did not work on the channel at all.
Yeah.
He handles, like, all the finance stuff, a lot of the, like, back-end business stuff, mm-hmm. which we would not have been able to scale the way we did this year without him doing that.
Yeah.
Without him making sure all of our tax stuff was in line, hiring a company to do bookkeeping, mm-hmm. Incorporating us into an S corp, yeah. Handling all of, like, the payments and everything mm-hmm. like that.
Well, and even Kenzie helps a little bit.
Yeah,
Kenzie, on, like, some of the back end
moderates
stuff.
Comments and helps with scheduling videos.
Yeah, so it's been a really crazy year. We were talking about that the other day of how crazy that now, like, me, Kenzie, Jessica, and Steven are all a part of the team.
Yeah,
like, how fun, like, that
all,
like,
my friends,
all of your group.
I know.
And then Kyle helps with link in the description.
Link in the description.
But that's on his own accord. That's,
but
it is so cool.
Yeah, it's just, I never, ever, and I never would have thought that I would hit 1 million subscribers this year. Hey, Carly, could you open that drawer on the desk and grab me my, my blue workbook of life. This is Lavender's workbook from last year. Yeah, it's that blue one right there.
I so nervous. You've been surprising
people so much lately.
I was like, oh my God, what is
so
happening?
In this workbook last year, there's this page that says, hold on, let me find it. I don't want to show everything else because there's maybe some stuff in here I don't want to show.
It's like gossip about me. I mean, you didn't say no.
No, it's not. So, in my workbook last year, my 2019 workbook of life from Lavender, it had a list that said, your goals for 2019, like, if, like, not even just realistic goals, like, yeah. if there was anything that could happen, like, what would it be? And I put, hit 1 million subscribers, which I thought at the time was outlandish. I was like, I almost didn't write it down. Because I was like, there's no way that that's going to happen. It was, again, the clutter one.
Mm-hmm.
I put, be more kind and selfless and graduate college.
Aww.
And it's crazy that, like, those things happened.
Yeah.
Because I really thought there was no way I would hit 1 million subscribers.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was absolutely crazy. And it's nuts to me that that happened this year. And yeah. that we were able to expand the team so much and, you know, evolve my content so much, launch the podcast.
Yeah. Like, do a crazy. Live show.
That's another one of mine. Do you want to do one more of yours?
Sure. Let's see. Another one of mine was moving to San Diego.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Kyle and I were talking about that the other day because our lease is up on the 28th of January and we did a 13-month lease. So we got our apartment that we're currently on December 28th of 2018, but we didn't move in until January.
The Skylar and Kyle who lived in LA feel like such distant people.
It's just crazy. Like, it's a totally different world, and I can't believe that I've only been living in San Diego for all of this year.
Like, I feel like you've become a different person, too.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I also stopped doing lighting design. Like, there have been a lot of huge changes in my life this year. But I'm just, like, really grateful to be in San Diego and that we, like, actually did it. Because yeah. I feel like we've talked about moving down to San Diego pretty much, like, ever since I moved up to LA.
Yeah.
Of, like, eventually we want to get down there. But with Kyle's job being so specific and, like, all of themed entertainment being, I mean, the furthest south you really can get is Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm, which still is, like, far away from family and friends. And so we thought the best we would ever be able to do would be like Anaheim, Orange County. And it's just crazy that we were able to do it.
In San Diego. I know. I'm so happy you guys are here. It's been so nice.
Me too. I know. It'll be so fun. And now we're moving. And so it's going to be fun because where we're moving to will actually be a lot closer to all of our family and friends. So
yeah.
It's like I already felt like I was so close to everyone because we were in San Diego. But where we were in San Diego was still a little bit far from everyone. So
now you're really close.
Now I'll be real close to everyone.
That's so exciting.
What about you?
One of mine, I think it's on your list too, is the live show.
Mm-hmm.
The live show and like my first meet and greet. That was like huge highlight of my year. That was awesome.
It was so crazy. Yeah. I feel like that was just so surreal. And I feel like for me, I mean, I don't have anything else written down on my list, but I have been so grateful that I've kind of become a like semi-public figure of, I think, like, because of this podcast, like, I do put myself out there on the internet, whereas before I literally didn't at all. Like, before this year I wasn't even in main channel videos ever.
No,
like, it wasn't even because I wasn't in office, so it wasn't like, Skylar, what do you think of my crazy outfit? Like, I had my own Instagram, but I like wasn't on the internet.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful that I don't think at all this year I've had a day where, like, hate has gotten to me or I've ever thought, like, wow, I wish I wasn't online. Like, I'm so grateful to be it that the way that I'm online is through you and you've cultivated such, like, a kind, compassionate audience.
We love
that
you
that I've never felt, like, wow, I regret this or any second thoughts. Yeah. If that makes sense.
That makes me so happy. I'm glad. I mean, really, like, I feel like our viewers and our listeners are, like, such an additive to my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of influencers talk, and I know a lot of people's audiences are way more critical than mine, but I've heard a lot of influencers say things like, yeah, I love making videos, but, like, it's really difficult dealing with, like, the community, or it's really difficult dealing with, like, viewers and that kind of stuff, and I feel like the people who watch my videos and especially listen to the podcast and, like, watch the vlogs and follow us on Instagram are, like, an additive to my life. Like, they make my life and my experience on the internet better.
Like, I feel like, I mean, obviously, there are hate comments every day. But I think that, like, the only time where you ever get, like, an excess of hate comments is if, like, a video goes way viral and it's not your people watching the video.
Right.
Or, like, if there's something that happens where it's not your viewers
right
who are who are contributing negatively. So right. I just feel like I'm so grateful that you've been able to cultivate mm-hmm. such like an amazing audience. And through that, we've been able to grow the podcast together. And I feel like this is just our little family.
It is. We Aww. Love the podcast. I have two more, okay. I think. Do you have any more?
I'm good, yeah.
My two are the Hollister photo shoot. Mm-hmm. That was so cool. And my brother getting engaged. My Ooh. Older brother. Everyone's always like, your brother's engaged. He's 17. I'm like, no, I have an older brother who doesn't like to be on camera.
Also, everyone has, like, such a big crush on Austin on your channel. Like, I feel like anytime Austin's in any video, people are like, ooh, get me his phone number. Like, what's his Instagram? So I feel like not only are people like, isn't he underage? But they're also like, but I want to be engaged to him. But yeah, I feel like your older brother getting engaged was such like a happy special thing. Yeah. And
I love his fiance. I absolutely adore her. I'm so excited. And I don't have any sisters, and also Stephen doesn't have any sisters, and his brother isn't married. So it's like I don't really have a like buddy in like any of my family.
What are you talking about? You have your sisters.
My sister sisters. but like in my family there's not like, I don't have, like, I grew up always seeing my mom and my aunt be, like, BFFs.
Yeah.
And that was her brother's wife.
No, absolutely.
And I remember always being like, wow, I want that kind of friendship someday. That, like, whenever we're at, like, Thanksgiving or Easter or Christmas with them, like, her and my mom are always, like, laughing, having a great time. Like, they get along so well. And then when my brother started dating his now fiance, I was like, wow, she's awesome. Like, I hope they get married so she can be my buddy.
Oh, and your now I'm sister. So happy. She'll be your sister-in-law.
I know. I always wanted to. And she doesn't have any sisters either. She's a triplet of fraternal triplet. And she's a girl, obviously. And then she has two brothers. So
that'll be so fun. I do feel like having a sister is such a special thing. Of growing up, since my sister is so much younger than me, we never were like traditional sisters. I feel like she always to me was like a baby. But now that she's in high school, I feel like we've throughout the last couple of years we've gotten so much closer, because I'm like, oh, you're a person,
right,
who has like thoughts and opinions. And like it's really cool. It's really cool to see that. And it's like weird that in a couple of years she'll be like driving. And I don't know,
so cool.
It's just so cool to have that person who's like, you know, is going to be there.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I love that. 2019 was hard. Mm-hmm. I know it was hard for you. You had a lot of stuff thrown at you.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was also a lot of good. And I'm also really excited to move into 2020.
I know. I feel like my one goal for 2020 is I hope it's a chill year.
You need like, a chill year.
Like, what did you say your word was for last year?
Harmonious.
My year, I just want it to be chill.
You sound like a stoner from middle school. I just want 2020 to just be, like, chill.
Like, I just, this year has been filled with so many, like, the highest highs of my life and the lowest lows. Like, I've had so many family members pass away. I've had pets pass away. Like, I've been in multiple car crashes. I've, like, totaled my car. But then also, like, I've gotten pregnant and been able to travel and move down to San Diego. And now we're, like, gonna buy our first home. And and so I feel like it's been such a roller coaster, and I'm grateful for my journey. But I would love if we, like, pull to a stop and just have, like, just
hang out for a bit.
I feel like I've been on California Screamin' or the Incredicoaster, and I'd love to be on Heimlich's Choo Choo Train.
Let's
for a
make
year.
2020 the year of Heimlich's Choo Choo Train.
Absolutely.
That's a great place to end the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Remember that we're taking a 3-week break, so we will be back on Monday, January 27th. And hopefully with Skylar, but no promises.
Yeah.
She goes into early labor.
We'll see. I mean, we could probably record the podcast, like, from the hospital.
Oh. Live stream it.
Could you imagine? Anyways.
We love you guys. Hope you have a good New Year's. And we'll see you next year. Bye.